I believe we call it let me see if I can get the acronym right, IoT, the Internet of Things, the Internet of Things. And in a nutshell, what it means is we love to Wi-Fi everything. Nowadays, right. You can get different things, different devices where you can turn your lights on during the day. You don't even have to be home. You could just flick them on. There are some people that will connect Wi-Fi to their doors, and they will allow people to enter their doors by way of Wi-Fi. And we have to realize anything connected to Wi-Fi can be hacked. And so you have to be careful. Cameras, we have security cameras in our home. Don't put them in a bathroom or somewhere where you could be walking by and half dressed. You know, really be careful with the type of things that you connect to the internet, just as we see with cars and how the key fob could be tapped into and or car stolen just from that rewiring. And so you just be surprised.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Speak Life. And right now I have with me author and public speaker, Ms. Terry Banks. What's up, Terry?
Hey, Bo, and hello to your audience.
How are you today?
I am well. All is well. It's sunny in Chicago, warm, so that's always a good thing.
Indeed. All right, so usually what we do with Speak Life, we ask the speaker to tell us, for those who don't know you, who you are, and give us your story. So who is Terry Banks?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I am one who's lived in the great state of Illinois my entire life. I'm currently in the south suburbs, but born and raised in the beautiful city of Chicago. Professionally, I've always been in the field of IT, information technology. Back when I started, it was called just computer science. Mm-hmm. And now it sounded, of course, more professional being called IT. And at the present time, I'm working at a cybersecurity company in downtown Chicago called TrustWave. And they do just that. I mean, they have a great program of people called the Spider Labs group that are ethical hackers. And so if there's ever anyone who thinks that they kind of visit the dark web when they know they shouldn't, there's actually a job for individuals that are kind of peeking out there and hacking all the time to do it in a setting where you can actually be paid for it. But with my particular role at the company, I work in the area of customer relations, specifically as a client success manager, managing different customer accounts and making sure that they're getting the best of their services. And in addition to that, I think it's important to have like a side entrepreneurial thing that you're doing to really exercise your skills. And that's where my publishing fund comes in. I'm now the author of 5 different books, also managing my own publishing company and really enjoying it, just having a ball at it.
Well, check you out. Whole time I just introduced you as an author and public speaker. You just, nope, let me tell you what I really do. I'm in IT and I'm a hacker. And I help people at. So what made you get to the IT field?
Oh, I love that question. I began the field, oh my goodness, way back in 85. I graduated in 83 from high school. And after that, I said, it's time to figure out what it is I want to do. And I had taken a class called Fortran, Formula Translation, and then began college. And it was around 85 where I decided I'll no longer look to be a teacher, because my parents kept saying, well, the teachers are always on strike. Maybe you shouldn't go in that field.
Yeah.
And decided to stick with, as I said, back then it being called computer science. And then there weren't as many minorities as there are in the field today, weren't as many women as there are in the field today. True. And I absolutely loved it. And I've always been on the side of IT, where I'm programming computers and not the networking and crawling on the floor and connecting them and getting into the newer wireless technology. And so, needless to say, I had a goal early on during my high school years of what I wanted to do. I kept focused on that goal and was able to do it. Fortunate enough to be able to do it.
That's what's up. You spoke on hacking and people who like to explore the dark web and they can also get a job from it. It brought me back to my childhood. It was a movie, with Angelina Jolie, and it was called Hackers. And man, that was the first time I got introduced to actually, I guess you call it the dark web, because at that time it was early 90s and people were still using the payphones to hack stuff because they want to be on the secure line or whatever that method was. I don't really know. But it always interests me to talk to folks who are into hacking. Like, that is pretty cool that you can use the back door, sort of say, and just manipulate someone's files, network, and then to say, okay, I'm good at it. I can get a government job or a job for someone who does cybersecurity. That's the flip side to the whole situation. I think that's very cool how that works out. So in your profession, you say you work with customer relations. So are these clients that are like actually looking for security measures for their network or their servers and whatnot? Am I on the same page with that?
Oh, absolutely. You're definitely on point. And, you know, we think about it just as consumers and we consider what are some areas that we're in every day that could be most hacked. And on the surface, we tend to think, oh, it's our banking information for sure. And it's actually not. It tends to be more of your healthcare information that is some of the most hacked data, where people can see your health records. They can get to just everything. But when you look at different companies, they're educating their individuals that are there, not just the entire workforce, but again, just one-on-one, anywhere from like the smallest thing. I remember when I first came to my job and they were talking about just our ATM cards or our credit cards and the little chip that's in there. Mm-hmm. And we may toss it at the end of the expiration date, not thinking anything of it. But someone could actually, and this was tested out by our wonderful Spider Labs group, they could pick out the chip, put it inside of another card, glue it, Gorilla glue it, whatever, and that chip be usable. And someone take your identity just that quick. You think one-on-one.
Wait, no. So you're saying that, I'm sorry I interrupted you. That just blew my mind. So you're telling me that chip that they made everybody get on the car can still be used? So that's supposed to be a security measure, correct?
Yes.
That's for security. So you're telling me I don't shred the car, someone else finds and says, oh, gold mine. And they put that on another car and they had your information.
They have all the car of your information. They can still use the card and we don't think about it. And so needless to say, I tell people chip before you toss the card, because otherwise someone can just use the chip to get to your information. And then one other thing I could share with you and your audience is, I believe we call it, let me see if I can get the acronym right, ITOT, the Internet of Things, In a nutshell, what it means is we love to Wi-Fi everything. Nowadays, you can get different things, different devices where you can turn your lights on during the day. You don't even have to be home. You could just flick them on. There are some people that will connect Wi-Fi to their doors and they will allow people to enter their doors by way of Wi-Fi. And we have to realize anything connected to Wi-Fi can be hacked. And so you have to be careful. Cameras, we have security cameras in our home. Don't put them in a bathroom or somewhere where you could be walking by and half dressed. You know, really be careful with the type of things that you connect to the internet, just as we see with cars and how the key fob could be tapped into and or car stolen just from that rewiring. And so you just be surprised at like the smallest little things we don't think of.
You know what, Terry? I'm not surprised. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not surprised. I geek out on this type of stuff. I'm so glad that we're here right now before we get into the book stuff. But I'm glad we're here right now because I geek out on this stuff. I watch science fiction movies all the time. And, you know, life imitates art and vice versa. So when you see movies like Die Hard or a movie where the supervillain hacks the computers and cars and drives them off. What? Yes. Or they, let me go into this and now, boom, I'm in your home and I'm locking all the doors. Now you can't leave unless you break a window. Or, if the, you know, all these things. I'm watching it. Look, Terry, I don't play with that type of stuff. I'll be very honest and transparent with you. Ain't too much stuff with Wi-Fi in my house. I can't play like that. I don't, I'm not one of those people who say like, I want to live off the grid, but low key, I kind of want to get off the grid because when you have so much access to a person, mm-hmm. technology makes everything so accessible. But you have to think of the flip side of that coin. Yeah, you have a lot of access to everything and fast speed, you can gain a lot of information, but the flip side of that coin, they can do the same thing to you. And that's what makes me cautious on how I use Wi-Fi, where I put my data. I saw a documentary once. It was right after, I can't think of the gentleman, the dude that was the one of the big leakers, not WikiLeaks, but I can't think of the gentleman's name, man, who was talking about how the government spies on us through data. And it was a movie called, documentary called, Do You Trust This Computer? And pretty much it was saying how all these companies that we use on a daily basis, Facebook, Google, and all these have super servers with all our data on it. Not just for like, you know, this is my password, this is my birthday, and this is, you know what I'm saying, what's my favorite school teacher name? No. They know by, and they have an algorithm dedicated to you for everything that you want. If you're searching something, the same way that we can be conversing right now about white headphones, and next thing you know, we're going off timeline. And this, do you want to buy a white headphone set? Here, check out this new set. This is a new company with white headphones. Like, man, it's trippy. It's awesome, but yeah, it's like I say, it has its balances, man. I don't play with that. The other side of that coin, I don't want to play with that. That's wow.
It's true, but it's not just Wi-Fi. You know, I mean, there are people that are afraid to enter their data into anything, mm-hmm. in any place where you put in a name, address, social security number. Yeah. And so that's why it's really important then to have a strong password. We hear it all the time, but we rarely use it. But a strong password with uppercase letters, lowercase letters, numbers, special characters, all of that composed within it. And that helps. That helps a great deal. So that even if you are using Wi-Fi devices at home, they'd have to first tap into your network. And so if you have a strong network password, that helps. So we don't want to scare people into not using Wi-Fi or not using things, technology, because to your point, our data's everywhere now. You know, it's everywhere. But if we use it wisely, change passwords often, all of it, and understand, you know, the security risks, then hopefully we'll be all right.
I had a saying by the time, I was noticing a couple of years back, just the influence of technology, because I, like I said, I love tech. So I'm watching and just observing humans like, man, everybody has an iPhone. Everybody has a smartphone. Everybody has some type of device or, you know, Bluetooth headset or watch, smartwatch or Fitbit or whatever. And it's like, now when they ask you to do your password, they're like, here's a strong password for you. And you'll never remember it because there's so many letters and characters and nothing familiar with you. So if you forget it, you just SOL. It's like, man, now that's never cool. But I was about saying was like, man, these smartphones are making us dumb. You know what I'm saying? It's more, and that's what the movie was about, saying like how dependent we are on computers, like we're unofficially cyborgs. This is attached to us. Our phones, our smart, all this stuff is attached to us. And we don't even think of it like that. But man, the next 20, 30 years, I'm excited to see where tech goes. But I'm also the flip side of the coin. I'm watching it, you know,
as you should.
Yeah.
And anytime we can wean ourselves away, we should do it. Like I've started when I go out to dinner with friends to just put my phone up. and be able to have the one-on-one conversation and not use it so often. Because, I mean, like you said, it's everywhere. We all have something. And now, of course, we know GPS technology tends to be in those devices too. And so people can track you. So it's just something.
Hold on. Before we go to the next subject, because we're talking about tech and security of tech. So as we're talking about being secure with this tech, have you seen these little Apple Pods where they can put it on your car or put it on your phone or put it on you and track you to know where you live, see where you're going? And people are getting set up in rock like this. This is what a world we live in.
Yes. What a world. And the first place that I saw it, it looked really innocent. And what the way it was explained is that you put a little device on like your kid's backpack. So you'd always know them where your children were. You could track them. But as you're saying, you can always then just track things, you know, track people, track vehicles. And then if people know you're away from your home, maybe they could break into your home, or if they know where you are, maybe they can, you know, maybe perhaps do something to you. So it's really scary. But as you said earlier, these things can work to our advantage. What if, God forbid, we're missing and mm-hmm. someone needs to find us for mm-hmm. real, you know, mm-hmm. or if our car is stolen and we need to track down where our car is, we can then use that GPS technology. So, you know,
it's like the coin. You got to look at the good with the bad. That's the only thing. That's you do. But I'm glad I have a friend in cybersecurity.
You do. Great.
I'm super excited. I always get excited when I get somebody in, a hacker or someone who's in cyber. Man, I got to have friends in high places, man. Straight up. I'm calling you, Terry. I got
it. Whenever I can help.
I heard that. All right. Nah, don't play with me. I got friends. Don't play with me.
We can track you down.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Get all in your business. If you won't? No, just play. You relax.
It's true. It's scary, but true. It's actually true. You can find out anything. And I'll say this, that you know, what's also scary too is, you know, if someone just Googled me, you know, then they can find out who my family members are, where they all live, their ages, who they're attached to. Look, there's no privacy.
It's none whatsoever. None whatsoever. If I read Snowden, that's who it was. Snowden. When Snowden went crazy and put that all out there, that's when it hit the fan. And that's what I call being of it, like, okay, this is the game they play. I gotta step my game up and make sure I'm more efficient, because I'm from the ages of, you know what I'm saying, yellow pages, yellow and white pages, where you can, you gotta do a little more research and whether that's easy.
Now, in seconds, they'd have that same information. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, it is. Wild times we live in. Wild times we live in. But like I said, I'm glad I got a friend in cybersecurity. All right. So with all the interesting things going on in cybersecurity, what made you go into the side hustle of writing books and publishing?
You know, that is such a great question. And I think all of us have so much on our mind. We have so many different experiences of things that we go through. And I have always found writing to help me. And I remember as a little kid, for example, being raised by my grandparents and not my biological parents, and getting into a publication. I'm sure a majority of your audience may not have heard of, called Write On Magazine.
Write On Magazine. I know about Write On. They know about Write On.
Okay, you know about Write On?
Yeah,
we know about Write On. Within it, a couple of pages in, you could actually reach out to a pen pal. You could just, which is weird when we think about it today, it's scary that people's children's names and ages and addresses would be in this thing, mm-hmm. not just in the United States, but all over the world. And so I acquired several pen pals. I'd write to people. I think the most part of the people in Africa, and it would just take weeks, you know, for the mail to come through, unlike today with email, obviously. And so that stirred up this passion of writing and getting my thoughts out and putting them out there to complete strangers and not worrying about what people would think. And they would share those same ideas. And as I became older, I always loved to teach, even though, as I said, in school, I changed my career from wanting to be one in education to IT. That bug of wanting to teach is always there. And so I thought, well, through writing, I could write works of fiction and nonfiction and teach something from that. And with every one of my books, there's always a lesson. There's always something by the end of that work, especially if it's nonfiction, that I am looking to teach someone. And so with every great adventure, I try to write a book about it. I remember, for example, well, actually twice now, but I remember twice being laid off of a job that I've had in IT. And I thought, oh my God, this ordeal of trying to survive a layoff is just crazy. You know, what you go through. And I wrote a book called Surviving a Layoff, you know, that it starts with trying to get your dollars together, managing your cash flow, and you don't know how long you'll be laid off. What do you do? And so I just found that every major time something happened in my life, when I wrote a book about it, you know, not only was it helpful for my soul, but I always truly believed that I was assisting someone else and learning something or growing from something. And so, needless to say, I always tell people, go with something you love. Whether it be your side hustle or something, you really turn into a business and you will just grow at it. You will be so successful at it. You will be effortless at it. Mm-hmm. And it'll just truly be your passion. It'll be your drive.
I agree. You said something that caught my ear, but you were saying that when you were writing to your pen pals, that you developed forgive me for not saying it the way you said it, but you said you developed the habit of not worrying about what people were thinking and just going for what you know and just writing freely. What helped you overcome that? Because, you know, and we're living in a day of social media, so people are somewhat publishers every day if they really want to think about it. They're putting out tweets, they're putting up statuses, and some folks don't due to the fact of the opinions of others. They don't want to share their good news, or they don't want to share their bad news, or they just lurk. So what helped you overcome that?
I love that. I've always heard, years of growing up from a religious standpoint, people say, you know, just speak your mind. Folks don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. You know, they'll say that. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, people do judge. You know, people do look at you and they wonder about your image and who you are. And I think it's really just becoming older and being more comfortable in my own skin and what I have to offer and what I have to say. And especially being a woman, and I think especially being a Black person, sometimes you can be fearful in how people may receive you and just the way you look and just the way you act and something that you wear, you know. And as I said, in the profession of IT, where women and minorities, sometimes you just don't see us. Mm-hmm. And so I think just getting older, the older we get, you know, the more you're like, oh, I'm just going to speak my mind and say what I want to say, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm at a place now where I can honestly say that the people in my life are the people I really adore having in my life. And I learned so much from them. And what I love the most is that they permit me to be my authentic self. And I hope that they feel that I permit them to be their authentic selves also. And each person we meet, you know, they'll bring out a little something. And I even shared with you years ago that you were one of the individuals that helped me to be more of my authentic self, where I didn't feel like I've got to be this corporate girl all the time, you know, sounding corporate, but it's okay to let that person out who loves to laugh, who loves to be silly, you know, who loves to dress up or put on a costume or whatever. She can come out more often than just in this tight, stuffy, you know, corporate setting. And so something magical, I think, happens when we are our real selves. And it saddens me, Bo, when I think about the many years of African Americans, the many people that have passed away under the slavery days that didn't have anywhere near the educational opportunities or the career opportunities we have today, that never had a chance to be their real selves. They never had a chance to do that real thing they wanted to do, you know, that successful athletic career or that whatever, you know, fill in the blank thing that they really wanted to do. They never had the chance to do that, you know. And so I think it's really important. It's really important to just be you. And if you discover that there are people around you that aren't okay with that, they probably shouldn't be in your world. And I really mean that at this stage of life, whether it's friends or family, that they probably shouldn't be in your world. And when I say that, I don't mean period. I mean, you know, there's an inner circle and then the outer on the rim people, maybe they should be on the outer rim side, but not the ones in the inner circle to have your ear, because they really could, you know, persuade you to not live your best life based on their negativity or based on something they don't like you're doing. So
I agree. I remember
you people.
you got to be intentionally you. You know what I'm saying? Fearlessly you. I remember as a when I was younger, and I would always have the notion to just speak out, speak my mind. If this is, you know, this is just how I was. And my mother or my father would say, well, you can't do this. And it's not them speaking negative things on me, but just their understanding of life at that time, opposed to me understanding and how I see things and view things. They're working and I'm outside. So my favorite thing was, are you doubting me? Are you telling me that I can't do it? Are you doubting me? And then next thing you know, I'm doing it and I'm excelling at it. You know, so they had to, I don't want to say I made them eat their words, but you know, you know, I had to make sure they changed their mind for sure. And I think
I think parents say it for different reasons, you know, where you could walk away thinking that.
You know, it was more than just parents. You know, I grew up in the 80s, you know, and at that time, gang banging was heavy. Crack was everywhere. So, you know, I was told I wasn't going to see 16, 21, 18 many times. And I had many friends that didn't see that. But, you know, when people speak those type of things on me, and now I'm at a point where I just say, I don't receive that. You know, I'll boldly say, I don't receive that, you know, and no, that's not the way. But I want to, like I said, be intentional with what I'm speaking over myself and what I'm speaking on and speaking into others, because what that does, it sets the tone for everything. You know what I'm saying? If someone would come to me, like, just, okay, I'll be transparent. When I was younger, you know, light skin was in, you know what I'm saying? Dark skin wasn't, you know what I'm saying? So, do you know, people would, the girls back in the day would be like, nah, you ugly, it's this and that, and they ugly, 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 you know? But my grandmama would always say, boy, you are beautiful. Look at those beautiful brown eyes, yada, yada, yada. Now, to my college, my grandma, my mama say I'm beautiful, saying I'm handsome and I'm this and that. And I look, I'm so fly and I look good. So that confidence, when people would say those negative things, that they set the tone for me, like, no, no, no. Either they blind or they lying. Either way, it ain't true. So, you know, I take that and move with it. Like, I accept all the positive stuff, all that negative stuff. If you're going to stop me from my process or doing what God has allowed me to do or to make me feel bad, like, who wants, I don't want to make anybody feel bad. Like, even if I do make someone feel bad, I hold myself accountable and try to apologize immediately. You know, for real, like, the moment I realize it, oh, let me call, text, or something, because I don't do unto others that they're doing to you. I don't want nobody doing that to me. So I try to make it a point to make sure that I'm pushing out good vibes all the way around, because that allows me to be free. You know what I'm saying? That allows me to feel good. I can apologize to folks and they ain't got to forgive me, but I did my part. So now I'm feeling good about life and I can continue on smiling and doing what I do.
Yes.
Think about it. You heard my laugh. Well, you know how many jokes I've heard about my laugh alone? Come on, man.
You got a cool laugh.
I think it's my superpower. It's nothing you can do to. You can't stop me from laughing. My laugh is what it is. People try to imitate it. I imitate them imitating me, and it sounds like no, you can't do it. It's my superpower. I can make anybody laugh with my laugh, so it's all good. You know,
it really is.
Yeah, you know. So when people try to put that neck, you gotta have your defense up. You know. So I get it.
True. That is so true. And yeah. Parents, I mean, they, you know, whether it be parents or, like you said, anyone, they, you know, people will always have their opinion. And as I was growing up, we were always told as kids that we were made to be seen and not heard. Mm. And when that happens, it suppresses who you are. And mm-hmm. That's why I said it's when you get older that you realize, no, I do have a voice. I can speak. My words are important. So it is important when you, the way you talk to people and hear them out, you know, and let them grow and prosper and to speak life, as they say, and to others.
For sure. For sure. For sure. Now we've talked about we're not done with this publishing thing. You said you're your own publisher. Tell me about this. Now, a lot of folks who write books, they're looking for publishers. They want to, you know, put their stuff out. It's a lot of inspiring authors out there. Now, it's one thing to be an inspiring author, but it's another thing to be a publisher, you know. So let's talk about your journey with publishing. How'd you get into that?
I tell you, publishing, and there are certainly a zillion and one of us out here, but I'll never forget a wonderful author who I still keep in touch with today, Claude Parker out of Philadelphia, said to me, "Why are you waiting on someone to say that your work is good? Your work is good. Self-publish it." And he was right, because I was waiting. I went through a number of different companies that were saying, "Oh, change this, change that. Use a certain editor, do da da da." And one thing about being an entrepreneur is you can do things as you want. You get to call all of the shots. And so I love that I can publish my own work by way of my classes. I can help other individuals publish their work or get in touch with a publisher if that's what they so desire. And nowadays, there's so many ways to do it where it's free. When I was doing it, you had to spend an arm and a leg if you were self-publishing to pay to have all of your books copied and then distributed. And nowadays you can create your book, put it up there and out there as an ebook, and have someone go to a website and order it either as an ebook or have it be produced as a paperback or a hardcover. And my business, I actually started, way back in 2000 as Ellasec Publishing, named after my wonderful grandparents that raised me, Ella and Cecil. It was like a personal tribute to them. No one ever gets the name of the company right because they don't understand why, how the names relate and how it was created. It's just a combination of their name, Ella and Cecil. I abbreviated my grandfather's name of Cecil as SEC. CEC, okay. And that became the company name. And so needless to say, from the amazing advice of Claude, I decided I'll put my books out there under my own label, if you will, under my own name. And then I can promote, market, and do it all. And I truly do it all. I also have the full-time job, as you know, in IT. And so on the side, you know, I'll still write my own books. I edit my own books. And then I will publish them and then market them myself. And the publishing is just making sure the copies are done, making sure they're out there and they can be distributed in various ways, and making yourself available, you know, for book signings, different events. But I absolutely love it. I'm glad that I went this route. And even though being an entrepreneur is hard work, as you know, and a lot of times you probably feel like a one-man show, as I feel like a one-woman show, even if you may have a few others assisting, or even an army assisting, because it's your idea and your thought. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work, but the rewards are just tremendous. You learn so much. You learn every aspect of your business, not just the work of the business, but the finances, all of it. And you truly grow from that. You really grow from that. You tend to not be able to learn that when you're working for someone else.
Yeah, they're totally doing a lot of things. So, you know, keep you employee, do this. These are your duties. But yes, I agree with you. As an entrepreneur, it gives you the opportunity to learn so many things, wear a lot of different hats, and it separates the mice from the men, as they say. You know,
oh, yes.
They show you if you're really about the goal, then are you willing to put in the work to achieve that goal? You know, and when you are an entrepreneur, it's your personal attachment to it. It's more so like your baby. You know, are you going to let your baby starve? You know, you wouldn't let your baby starve. So go ahead and take care of your baby.
Do what you gotta do to take care of your baby.
So yeah, I fully understand that. And you know, before I get into this next segment, but I was looking at your publishing and I'm like, man, you know, you really inspired me. Because I remember you telling me, you know, just being transparent again, you've helped me a lot with writing things and just making that transition. Because, you know, it's one thing to speak and speak your thoughts and just get it out. But it's another thing to type, write it out. Because once it's out, you know, when, I don't know, for me, at one point, it was like, I can speak it and it's okay. If I fumbled a word, I stuttered, or if I said something incorrectly, it's whatever. I can go back and apologize and fix it. But if that email goes out wrong, or if that memo was out, oh, everybody sees it and they're talking about me behind my back. And oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, I can't believe I just said that. You know, but you helped me overcome that. Because I used to send things to you like, how does this look? How does this look? Let me know if I'm doing it right, because, you know, it's from a person making transition to doing that job. Because like I'm done this for the club that we're in, Toastmasters, and also on a professional level for my businesses. But it's like I said, I don't want to represent anything in an improper way if I'm putting it out there. And you helped me build that confidence to say, oh, no, it's good. You got it. And I'm really, oh, I didn't know. So now.
Yeah, you do.
Thank you. But and yes. Now I'm at the point like, all right, Terry had been telling me for a while that I should write a book. So now I'm like, okay, I want to start this book. And you've shown me different applications and things that I can use that are helpful to help me do this, because my whole thing is about typing. And you was like, no, you can just speak it and they'll type it for you. Oh, okay. So I just found out with that Google Docs, that's what it is. Google Docs has a tool that you can use to get that done. So I'm going to start just playing with it, creating. I have an idea for a few books, but I'm just going to start speaking it and seeing how that correlates with the app. And if it integrates very well, then hey, man, I'm coming to you. Talk about publishing stuff, okay?
For sure.
So, one thing that we didn't talk about, but we kind of played with and dropped a little hints here and there, was public speaking and Toastmasters and how we know each other.
Yeah.
And we became friends with Toastmasters at our New Faith Toastmasters Club. And Toastmasters, for those who don't know, is a workshop about public speaking and leadership and developing leadership skills. Now, I joined Toastmasters, I want to say, 9 years ago. Was that 2000 and I don't know, let me get the line. But it was my kids were son there, so like 2013 or something like that. We just throw a number out there, but I've been in there for a while. But when I got there, my goal was to be able to not only articulate my thoughts and my words, because I speak very fluent slang, but I also want to be able to articulate in a professional manner. That when I do speak, especially in business meetings or motivational or anything like that, I want to be taken serious. I don't want people to say, okay, this is a slick talking fast dude or something like that. No. You're dealing with someone who's very serious and intentional about what they're talking about. And I remember coming to the club and hearing you and Elizabeth speaking, and I'm like, and you made $1 million just by going and speaking everywhere they speak. This is amazing. I've never heard someone speak so eloquently and with proper timing and all these things. And you're like, yeah, we learned this here. So can you just share a little bit of your Toastmasters experience for the people who are watching?
Oh, absolutely. And I love the way that you explained it, because people come with different reasons that they came. And I know, for example, when you came, I could tell this guy's fearless. You know, I didn't feel that you were coming because you were scared to speak. You know, you're very articulate. You know how to speak your mind, say what you want to say, get your point across. So I wasn't getting that at all, as opposed to me. I was like a scared duck, like, oh my God, you know, and people automatically assume, because you may have a certain tone of your voice, or you may seem like you're confident, they assume that you are. And I was not whatsoever. I was scared to death, absolutely scared to death to speak. And what had me come to Toastmasters way back in April of 99 is that 2 months prior, my manager wanted me to speak at a Black History Month event. And I froze. I froze. I almost knocked the podium over. I could feel the butterflies in my stomach. I could hear my voice kind of quivery, that quivery noise. I was all of it. And I said, what got me is there was a gentleman on the elevator that said, "Wow, you were fantastic." And I thought, now, you know, people are listening to what they're hearing. I want to be what he thought I was. Mm-hmm. That's what I walked away with. I want to feel the confidence and the assurity that he said on that elevator. I want to feel that. And often when we come to Toastmasters, some of us that are afraid to speak, it's because we don't realize that the audience doesn't care at the level that we think. Like, we're really good. The average person you come that comes to Toastmasters sounds fine. It does. You would never know they have a fear of public speaking. And so a lot of it's just internal. And as I shared with you, since we were taught, in my family as kids growing up, that we really didn't have a voice, that children were made to be seen and not heard, my voice became suppressed. And so I had to learn that it was okay. So that was a part of it. And then also some people that come, maybe they're afraid to speak at work. Again, especially as women, sometimes we'll be in the corner, we'll have this great opinion on something, and we'll never speak it, because we feel that we're not assertive enough. And so Toastmasters has really helped me to be a much better speaker, to not be afraid to say something, to not be such an emotional speaker, especially again, as a girl, you know, sometimes we become so emotional in what we're saying, we can't get the words out. It sounds like we're almost about to cry, you know, or if we receive constructive criticism, it feels like we crumble. So it's toughened me up and taught me to be a more direct, my opinion counts, I can speak and say what I want to say type of speaker. And as you and I know, it has other aspects to it too, to improve your listening. We think we're listening to people and we're really not. We're really not. We need to do better. And it's taught me, especially when men, we do, especially when men, I love when men join the club, because we women sometimes have listened. We really do. We need to do, we must do better. And so it really teaches you through different things, as you know, that we do in the club, how to be a better listener. And the key thing I've always run from is how to be a better leader. And I've run from it because I don't like being responsible for other people's mess ups. I love all other aspects of leadership, helping people reach their goals, setting the example. You know, I perform a certain way and people say, okay, you know, she got in the trenches. Okay, she's a decent leader. The aspect of leadership I don't like is that when other people aren't pulling their weight, or they're late, or they're not doing assignments, and you become the fall person because you're their manager. That's the aspect I don't like. And so with Toastmasters, you learn, you know, different skills that you can use to become a better leader through different things you have to do, anywhere from the officer positions, as you know, on out. And so it's helped me, but I still don't want to, I don't want to be anyone's manager.
I feel you. You know what though? And I got to agree with you on that, because I've never been in a situation. Well, you know what? I have. And in previous businesses where have a type of leadership position, and the team which wasn't pulling any weight, or we'll have a situation where it's like, and how I would respond to it would be unprofessional. My ego would just be like, it wasn't healthy for the team, because at the same time, as a leader, you still got to make sure the team is on point. Whether people fall off or people stay on or they fall back a little bit, you still have to be the leader. And with my ego, it just allowed me to, man, just mess up even more, to the fact that the goal was not only did the goal not get done, but the whole team is disbanded. But the company is over with. And that's never the way. That's never the way, you know.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's never the way. You know, unless it's, you know, the way, then, you know, then yeah. But no, it's other options. And I believe Toastmasters taught me that, because when you're president of a club, and, you know, when we have that winter season where folks drop out and membership is a little low, you still have those goals that you have to stick with. You still have team members that are still sticking with you, and you got to be that engine to make sure that we get to the next station. So, you know, I developed that skill in my leadership roles. And now when those situations happen, it's the ego. It doesn't come out as much. And I mean, it does flare up, and I've been praying about it. You know, I ain't perfect. You know, God's still working on me with that. But I'm aware that it's a problem. That's one. And now I understand my options on the next step. Okay, I'm aware of it. Okay, ego, excuse me, emotions, ego, you had your moment. Now what's next? You know what I'm saying? You had your moment. Now we got to still keep moving, you know? So I'm thankful for Toastmasters to teaching me that, because, man, like I said, I've done it a few times. And like, you know what? Do it. I don't want to do it no more. And deep down,
it's still a lot of work.
Yeah, you know.
But if
we're entrepreneurs, or if we're leaders, or if we're managers, or if we're vice presidents of companies and these are that things of that nature, you got to carry out the position until the job is done. You know, no one likes to quit anything. That's I know. Deep down inside, you still feel like, I can't believe I quit. I just want to see it finish out. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, you know. You got to finish it out. You got to develop that skill and that toughness and that mindset to say, you know what? It's bad now, but it can get greater later. Let's just figure this out. I'm not in it alone. I got a team. Forget it. Let's go. You know, so I'm very grateful for Toastmasters. And I'm grateful for you, too, because you and Elizabeth, y'all put me in some of my first leadership positions. And it was like, man, I ain't never did nothing like this. Come on, don't let the ego. I don't want my ego to show up here. You know what I'm saying? I don't want my ego to show up in the club. Oh, Lord. It's over with. You know what I'm saying? I got to find a new club, you know? But to God,
Lord,
it didn't happen like that, you know? I stepped into the challenge, and y'all saw something in me that I didn't see. That's one. So it's always good to have a great support system. And, you know, y'all allowed me the opportunity to mess up and learn and fix it. So, you know, Toastmasters is great for anybody that wants to learn leadership skills. That's, you know, I think that's very important, because I think in this day and age where everybody wants to be an entrepreneur, that it's like customer service. I'm going to put it like this. So you got a lot of entrepreneurs that start a business and create a great product, but have terrible customer service or have terrible management. You know what I'm saying? And they're not putting themselves in the position to understand, like, why isn't my product selling? I have this great product. I'm friendly. People like me. But I got to give all these refunds out, or people are not referring me and all this. So customer service, people need to put themselves in a position to learn these type of skills. And I believe organizations like Toastmasters allows you to learn, because you got to get evaluated. So you got to be able to listen, hear when you mess up, and be able to take that and fix it for the next opportunity. And then team building and team cooperation, all these things come into play with that. So yeah, big shout out to Toastmasters, and big shout out to you, because you helped me a lot in my journey with Toastmasters. So appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And as we know, it's about goal setting. You know, that's what we eventually learn through Toastmasters. You know, when you're over a group of people, you need to have some goal and direct people based on where they are and their skill levels. And a lot of times when we are disappointed and we do get frustrated, it's because people don't understand the path that you're trying to take them down, or there is no path, or there's not clarity to get to that path. And so you really learn a lot about people. You learn a lot about yourself. And as you said, when you hang in there and you work through, whether it be conflicts or confusion or whatever, you really do wind up being in a much better place. You know, it's so easy to just give up and say, I quit, can't work with these people. You know, I mean, that's so easy. And we can be people, you know, it could be us. That's,
you know, our problem. We're the one doing it. Yeah, right. You would have said the wrong thing. Now everybody mad at you because you just said the wrong thing and you don't even know it. You're like, why y'all ain't listening to me no more?
That's the truth.
Trust me.
As opposed to how do I relate this so that people see the direction I'm going and that they see how they fit in. And also in the end, you learn there needs to be a reward for everyone, because people tend to not want to just work for you and you get all the accolades or whatever. If you give people accolades along the way, so they feel appreciated, genuinely appreciated, mm-hmm. that makes all the difference in the world. So we learn so much. And not to mention, you know, improving those three skills, speaking, listening, leadership. But as you know, we meet some of the best people.
I agree.
On the entire planet.
I agree. Networking is off the chain when it comes to Toastmasters. For sure.
I love it.
For sure.
You meet some great people in great professions that want to help you, not just with those skills, but just whatever they know. You know, mm-hmm. they'd be willing to help you out. So it's a great way to network too, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay. So now we're at the section of the interview where we're going to talk about your goals. Now, folks have New Year's Eve resolutions and all that stuff, but we're a little different. So if you don't mind sharing, can you let us know what are some of your goals that you want to accomplish this year?
This year for sure. And there's two main ones. Number one, I definitely want to promote my publishing business even more, especially with the online part of it, to be able to train individuals so that they can learn how to write their own books and get their own messages out. As I said, there's so many writers that are out there. We all have a story. And so I definitely want to do that for sure. And the second thing, being older and Lord willing, hopefully being able to become even older, I want to work more on the personal side of what will retirement look like, you know, to work on my health so that I can retire in a healthy way, to work on my finances so that later I'll be able to make sure I can pay bills and mm-hmm. have a little bit of backup, mm-hmm. to also work on venturing out more, you know, to see more things and to go to different places, visit various states on out. And we know, you know, COVID has been a factor over the past couple of years, but now that hopefully it's letting up some, to really get to a place of just both of those two things, the business, expanding the business and helping more people through my business. And then from a more personal level, reaching a place where I'm looking at retirement. What will retirement look like? So that I can build myself now to get there for sure. And I think that's important, you know, as we look to our future, you know, a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, what do we want it to look like? Like your question was focused on for this year. But I think one thing that's always helped me throughout my life is to see beyond the current year where I really want to be, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, whatever. And so I've always done that. I appreciate the now and love and bask in the now, but also really love to plan for the future. So I'll be doing both of those things this year for sure.
I dig that. And that's funny that you said that, because I usually go year, then 5 years and cap it off at 5 years. But you already knocked out. Well, that's how professional you are. Scary theory. All right. Well, you know, I think that's great. And I think a lot of people should be concerned about retiring, especially with being an entrepreneur or even just working a job. You know, you always got to have an extra strategy. You know, you don't plan to be there forever. You don't want to be in the same spot forever. So you always want to have a plan to go to the next step. You don't want to get complacent or become idle or nothing like that. So you keep moving forward. And with that being said, we want to make sure that you reach your goals. We want to promote you. We want to let you know that this is going to be, you know how this goes. It's going to be seen everywhere on YouTube. I'm sharing it like crazy. I'm going to chop it up and all things of that nature. So hopefully this brings you more business, more exposure. Those who want to write, make sure that you follow Terry. Make sure that you get in touch with her. Make sure that you inquire and get to know what she has going on. So not only can she achieve her goals, but she can help you achieve yours as well, because that's what she says she loves to do. Teach and help people achieve her goals. She said it a few times in this interview. Don't sleep. Don't sleep. So we just want to speak life into you, Terry. You know, you're an awesome woman, a guy. You are just a joy to be around. Great conversation. And we want to make sure that you reach your goal. So I pray that God allows you to see all that you want in your life, all that you want. We're not skipping nothing. All that you want, it is yours. You request it, and you are worthy of what you request. So, you know, we just want to put that out there in the atmosphere. Hope God receives it and hears it and lets you experience it. Amen.
Amen. So I receive it. I receive it. I receive it.
Get that. You. Get that. All right.
I definitely receive it for sure. And I think that, you know, people have to, the point I believe of what I've been trying to get across today is that people have to set goals in their lives. And when you do that, not only will you have something to reach out for, but others can assist you in reaching those goals.
For sure. All right. Well, Terry, can you tell people where they can reach you and on social media and your website?
Oh, absolutely. And thank you for the opportunity to speak about it. Ellasecpublishing.com, spelled E-L-L-A-C-E-C publishing.com. And if you go to the site, you can order my books. You can order, I have a t-shirt for one book called I've Got a Testimony. You can sign up for my classes and you can reach out to me. There's a contact us type form that's there. If you have questions on publishing, I can help you with, let me know. You can subscribe also to receive my emails where I tend to send discount promo codes on my classes. And so definitely do so. And I'd be more than happy to assist you. I will be responding personally.
Yeah, y'all make sure y'all hit Terry up, okay? All right. Well, this has been a great episode of Speak Life with Ms. Terry Banks. I thank you once again, Terry, for joining us and sharing your testimony and your life and your journey and allows to speak life into you. This has been a great time. I really appreciate it. You got anything else you want to say in closing?
I will close saying, if I can ever give assistance to you, my dear friend, Bo, or your family, you know how to reach me. Don't hesitate to reach out.
You know it. All right, y'all. This has been a great episode of Speak Life. Until next time, later on.
Bye.